Hey, you guys. Yeah, I am. What are you talking about?
No, you do a downbeat sometime. We need to do this show. Upbeat, thank you for coming to the show. All right. So today is 4th of July.
Independence Day.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch the fireworks from my back window.
Yeah, I'm not going outside. It's like 90 degrees and there's mosquitoes. Fuck that shit.
They launch a whole bunch of fireworks.
Well, they've been doing them all weekend. We went to the club last night, and when we were on the way there, like on the toll road, there were fireworks all over the place.
All over the fucking city. They're already getting ready to do fireworks everywhere. So, you know, they're going crazy with fireworks action.
Yeah, they must be like saving them up. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about Amityville Horror 2.
Amityville 2, Possession.
The Possession.
The Possession.
Which was kind of like Amityville and The Exorcist combined with the hot chick from fucking Last American Virgin. Her job was just to show up, be pretty, and take her clothes off. That's what she did mostly in movies when you saw her back when I was a teenager. You saw her, you were going to see some titties.
Unless it was Better Off Dead. I don't think she should have any titties in that.
Yeah.
Also, I think she was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Was she?
But I don't know if she got naked in that. But I think she was in Terror Vision also. You remember that movie? I think it was 85.
Terrible movie.
It was terrible.
I don't remember anything about it other than it was terrible.
Maybe
she was a B-movie queen mostly.
Yeah.
That girl.
She was, yeah.
What's her name? Do you have it?
Diane Franklin.
Diane Franklin, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cute as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
What the hell's happening?
Okay. Nothing's happening.
No, I saw that shit freak out.
Danny Rowling says, this film, in my opinion, is the best haunted house film next to Poltergeist original. Do you know that there are a not insignificant portion of horror fans on the internet who like this one better than the original Amityville Horror? Roger Ebert did as well. Now, he wasn't a big fan of the first Amityville Horror, and he wasn't a huge fan of this one either, but he thought this one was better.
Yeah, maybe. I would think so. Maybe. I would say technically probably better quality. But the first one does have a certain amount of charm to it.
That's true.
It's kind of like a low-budget version of an episode of The Haunting when you see it now. It did kind of scare you, you know, back in those days. But, you know, your threshold was lower back then.
This one, I kind of feel like, because it was an Italian director, so they just leaned into the sleaze.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Which we'll get into in a bit. And actually, it was much worse, but they had to cut a lot of it.
Okay.
Because Italy.
Yeah.
Damiano Damiani was, he did a fuck ton of movies, but not that many, like, in the
US. They knew how to get asses into seats, though. They knew how to get fucking boys to come see the damn movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is sleazy shit.
Yeah, this one's very sleazy. And, like I said, it's very kind of, it's over the top, like the haunting shit, because I kind of feel like Amityville Horror, and this isn't to its detriment, the original one, I kind of feel like it was more restrained, more subtle. Like, it went batshit crazy, like, toward the end, like, with the walls bleeding and all that stuff. But this one, I mean, within, like, the first 5 or 10 minutes, there's, like, crazy shit happening, you know what I mean? Like, crazy paranormal shit. But I don't know. There's something about this. I saw this when I was younger, and then I think I saw it again, like, probably 5 or 10 years ago. And there's just something that's kind of, I guess it's the sleaze factor. There's something, like, really kind of, like, fucked up, but also kind of, like, appealing about it.
Yeah. Another thing about it is that it kind of, in general, parts of it do kind of conform to the DeFeo case, at least superficially. And then they've included a lot of legend about that case, and a bunch of fantasy about that case, and the theories from that case are all in this. It's kind of like an homage to the DeFeo case.
Well, they're supposed to be the DeFeo family. They just had to, like, change the names. And it's not like,
For those of you who don't know who that was the dude that killed his family in that Amityville Horror house before the Lutzes moved in.
Yeah. So that did happen, like,
It did happen in real
life. The weird thing about this, though, is that it's sort of like a prequel. They never come out and say, like, what year it is or anything, but even though it's clearly set in 1982, like, when the movie came out, and the original movie was obviously the
70s. Yeah, so they make it a period piece, I guess.
Yeah, so they were just kind of like, we're not going to bother. So it's just kind of like a loose prequel. Danny Rowling brought up Tommy Lee Wallace, who wrote the screenplay, and I wanted to bring him up, too, because Tommy Lee Wallace, you might be interested to know, was the same guy who directed Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
He also directed Fright Night 2, which isn't too bad. And the Stephen King's It from 1990.
Okay, yeah.
He was like a big, he did shit with like John Carpenter all the time. He was actually one of the editors on the original Halloween and on The Fog. And I think he got, like, he was art director on Dark Star, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he worked with John Carpenter all the time. So he was the one that wrote the screenplay. Like I said, the director was, like, an Italian dude. Now, what ended up happening with this? Now, we've talked about the Lutz family before and how we think that they were probably full of crap and they were just trying to, like, make money off. Because, like I said, Ronnie DeFeo did actually, like, shoot his entire family in the house. That did happen. But then, like, all the haunting stuff, I think, was bullshit, and they were just trying to make money. So they did the book with Jay Anson. Now, what I wasn't aware of is that there was a second book, and it was called Amityville Horror Part 2, and it wasn't written by Jay Anson. It was written by another guy named John Jones. And I guess the Lutzes wanted that to be made into a movie. I don't know what that book is about. Like, I guess it was, like, their story continued or whatever. But when they were thinking about, because the original Amityville Horror was so successful, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to make another one, and Dino De Laurentiis had the production, like, had, you know, was going to do it, but he was like, no, I want to base the second one on Hans Holzer's book. Now, Hans Holzer is a parapsychologist, right? Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book called Murder in Amityville, which was kind of more going along, like I said, the possession angle, because, you know, when Ronnie DeFeo got arrested, one of his stories was that he was possessed by a devil, or he heard voices that, like, made him, yeah, that, like, kill a whole family. So I guess, like, Hans Holzer, the parapsychologist, wrote a book coming at it from that angle, like the angle that the house was actually haunted, and so they decided they were going to make a movie out of that. George Lutz was pissed. He sued Dino De Laurentiis, but he lost. I think the only thing that they did after that was they would put, like, little stickers, like, on the posters for this movie that, you know, this movie doesn't have anything to do with the Lutzes. Right. But like I said, this is supposed to be a prequel, but it's set after. It's confusing. But it's obviously supposed to be the DeFeo family, but they all have their names changed. Yeah. So it's kind of like...
For legal reasons,
yeah.
If you know the case well, the Amityville Horror case, you know what they're talking about. You know.
Yeah.
You know who they're talking about.
And it does really kind of like the son, the oldest son that ends up, like, shooting everybody, you know, in real life he was named Ronnie, right? Ronald DeFeo. In the movie, he's Sonny. I think they're the Montellis, right? It's like the Montelli family.
Yeah, and he's not portrayed as how he really was in real life. He's kind of portrayed as a nice guy who fell to this demonic force. In reality, fucking Ronnie DeFeo was a junkie.
He was kind of a scumbag.
He was a scumbag junkie that lived with his parents. He spent a lot of time in the bars, getting high and doing two-bit drug deals and getting in trouble. That's who he really was. And he was just falling into damn drug abuse, drug addiction. For some reason, he killed his family one night. But it was an abusive family. His dad beat everybody up.
Which they do portray in this movie.
Yeah.
And actually, the guy, Burt Young, that plays the dad, who's, you know, probably best, he's been in a shit ton of stuff, but he's best known as Paulie from the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
And he usually plays a good guy, though, I feel like. But wow, in this one, he just slaps everybody around. Slaps his wife around, slaps his kids around. There's actually a deleted scene from this where he butt rapes his wife because she's not giving it up.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Also, because Blurdo Dude says, I imagine this movie is a fave with incest files. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Now, this version that's on, because we watched it on, I think we watched it on HBO Max. And there is incest between Sonny, the older son, and the daughter. Like, they're kind of close in age, I feel like. The one played by Diane Franklin.
Yeah, I guess they were related, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because I think in real life...
They were related in real life, I think.
Yeah, they were. I think it was all one. I thought it was a step family, but I'm confusing them with the Lutzes. Because the Lutzes, that was like...
step kids.
Those were step kids. Like, those weren't his actual kids. But this was an actual family. Now, nobody knows, like I said, this is... I think that was another story that Ronnie DeFeo came up with, that him and his sister were having an incestuous relationship, and she like helped him.
Yeah, helped him do the murders.
But I don't know if
no,
that's,
there's no evidence.
No,
of that.
There's no evidence of that, and he killed her too. So yeah. I don't really know like why. That was another one of the stories.
The
he
most
was kind of
mysterious
with.
Thing of in the real case of why, you know, the most mysterious things about the original DeFeo case is how the hell. Why the hell were they all killed in bed? You know.
Well, that's what everybody is like, because they're like, you think that you would hear like somebody would have woken up.
But there are other cases where they were all shot in bed, even though they were awake, and it's because a lot of times little kids will hide underneath the covers in the bed, like that's going to save them.
Yeah.
And I think what it is, he blasted the parents first, and then she was probably in bed, and he goes into her room. And fucking, she's like, "What was that all about?" And he says, "I killed my parents." And he probably leveled the gun at her, and she put her head down, and he shot her while she was on the bed like that. And then the little kids were cowering in bed. I think it's just it was surprise, and their reactions were to just freeze like deer in the headlights.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that crazy to me because one, they were kids.
Yeah.
Two, it's your brother.
Right.
Like, and you just probably think he's like fucking around, or
yeah,
he's
not sure what's happening.
Yeah, it's like you don't really expect like your older brother to like go around shooting everybody, right. So it would be like shocking.
And he probably did it pretty quickly.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, a few seconds. It was a lever action Marlin rifle. I think it was a .444 Marlin, which is loud hunting rifle. Lever action hunting carbine, really like a real fat, long 44 Magnum bullet. But nobody, they said, well, nobody heard the shooting. They thought that was paranormal in the original case. But no, you can touch off a pretty powerful round inside a house, which I used to do it every now and then with a proper snail trap the bullet. So when I was hand loading and stuff, I test out a load. But you know, that was. But now the neighbors won't hear it because the walls kind of absorb it all, and. If it was in the middle of the night, everybody would be asleep. It wouldn't be enough to wake them up.
I mean, even if it did, like, you might think, whoa, what was that noise? Or you think you were dreaming it or something like that.
I don't think it would get you out of a sleep if it was the houses next door. It's not that loud, you know. The house that contained the sonic blast, you know, the sonic boom. Although I'm not even sure if 444 Marlin is ultrasonic. It might be subsonic. I'd have to go look at it. Depends on what kind of ammunition he used, you know. This is a big, heavy, slow bullet. Although, I guess it's not moving slow for a rifle, not a pistol, but it's just 22, 25, even 9mm, you can shoot those in the house all day long. As long as you have a safe way of trapping the bullet and catching it. Neighbors would never know.
Danny Rowling says, Andrew Prine, a.k.a. the sheriff from the town that dreaded sundown, plays the priest's gay boyfriend in this. Yeah, see, okay. I recognized him. I had forgotten that he was in Town That Dreaded Sundown. I recognized him from, I want to say it was Grizzly, but I could be wrong. It was some 70s eco-horror, like, or animal attacks movie that I saw, of, like, very recently. So I was like, maybe it was Grizzly, because I watched that on, like, Riff Tracks not too long ago. He was like, he's only in it. And it's funny, because they don't specifically say that he's like the priest's gay boyfriend, but I kind of were like, hey, that was kind of like interesting that he kind of, I mean, they don't say that in the movie, but that's kind of what I thought too, because he's like going on the camping trip, and you know, the daughter, like Patricia, Diane Franklin's character, she's like trying to call the priest because she's like, hey, I think my brother's like gonna kill us all, and he's just like, I'm going on a camping trip, I'm not gonna answer that shit right now. And then they all get killed like that night, and then he feels really bad about it, and then her ghost or the haunted house or something like that, like, calls him, like, it with her voice, which actually I thought was a really creepy scene. I really liked that, like, when the phone rang and he picked it up and it was her, like, after she was already dead. Because that's the thing, it's like, I had forgotten when I watched this movie, but I don't know why I would have forgotten it, because this is kind of what happened in real life, but I thought that most of the movie was, like, leading up to the multiple murder, but it's not. Like, he basically, like, shoots the whole family, what, like, halfway through? I think it was about halfway through the movie, and then, like, the rest of it is the priest, like, coming to terms with the fact that Sonny is possessed and, like, trying to get the demon out of
him. It becomes The Exorcist.
Pretty much. I mean, it really does.
Well, they it's both horror movies. They both, Exorcist made a lot of money, and so did Amityville Horror, so they, part two was going to have Amityville Horror and The Exorcist combined. Hey, why not?
I mean, might as well.
And it's an Italian director. That'd be the guy to get.
Yeah.
An Italian, and go, oh, fuck it, we're gonna put The Exorcist in this movie. Okay, yeah, we'll do that.
Well, and it's justifiable because it was kind of based on the book. Yeah. And Ronnie DeFeo did say, voices tell me so.
So he left the door open.
And there was a whole thing about the house is haunted and blah, blah, blah. So, and Lutz said he was possessed and all that other kind of crap, too. So it's not like they were just pulling it right out of their butt. Right. They just, you know.
Ronnie left the door open. The director walked right through it. We're gonna go that way. And made a decent movie. Pretty good.
I had forgotten, kind of how good this was. And honestly, there's a lot of really good actors. Like I said, the guy that plays Polly from Rocky, Burt Young, he's in it. And then the woman that plays the mom, Dolores, I was like, shit, man, I just saw her in something the other day. She's been in a ton of stuff, too. Her name is Rutanya Alda. She was in Mommy Dearest. I was like, that's right, because we just watched Mommy Dearest, not too long ago. She played, the housekeeper, or, her... what's her name's assistant or whatever. She was in Rocky 2 also, mm-hmm. and she was in The Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's been in a ton of shit. So I don't know. I you could argue that this is kind of exploitative because it's based on a real case, but I don't know. I kind of feel like they do that a lot with horror movies, and they did change everybody's names. It is very similar to the actual case, but some of the stuff has been changed around, but they did seem to have, because the character that Burt Young plays, the dad, that's pretty much what they said about the DeFeo dad too, that he just slapped everybody around and he was like a real asshole. And they show that in this movie too. I mean, in this movie,
he's a dick.
He's a dick and a half. I mean, he's just not only does he slap his whole entire family around, but he also, when the priest comes, because, supernatural shit starts happening, almost immediately. I think, the night or the next day when they move into the house. Shit starts going crazy. And they're like, oh, ghosts or whatever. And then she goes to the priest and gets him to come bless the house. And when he turns up at the house, the dad is basically just, acts like a total douche to him.
Now, in defense of the DeFeos, or the Daddy DeFeo, what was his name? I don't remember what his real name was.
Yeah, what was it? I think he was Ronald DeFeo Sr., okay, was he not? Because I thought, the kid was a junior.
In defense of him, some people have said that that you might think that he was abusive by today's standards, but for the standards of the 70s, he was just kind of a little bit outside the norm for an Italian authoritarian type husband. That was kind of common in that area. Just, dude trying to put his foot down and running the family, just kind of old school. If a kid got out of line, he'd smack a kid. But they did that, So I'm not sure, because some people have said that Ronnie DeFeo, during his trial, tried to make him seem more abusive than he was to try to get leniency for, going crazy. But I don't know.
That's the thing. It's just kind of his word. And
other people who knew him said, he was kind of a tough. He was a tough Italian father figure who didn't take any shit, but they didn't know of him as being abusive, beating the wives or anything like that.
Although sometimes that was something they didn't really talk about then. So if it was going on behind closed doors,
you probably wouldn't know.
And the whole family's dead.
Yeah.
So it's not you have anybody else's word.
For all we know, the dude might have, his son was a fucking multiple murderer, for all we know, He made it.
Yeah, so
up.
It's kind of
I'd just been a hard ass, like my stepdad, something like that.
Lion X Warrior says, the mafia connections are interesting. Wasn't
he tried to blame it on the mafia.
Yeah, I thought that was another story.
Trying to make it look like a mob hit.
Like a mob hit at first.
mob would never do anything like that.
Yeah, that really
doesn't. They were family oriented.
That really doesn't seem a mob. I mean, nice try, but
that was way out of character for the mob.
Yeah, definitely.
They didn't go after families and women and children and shit. Not unless they were guilty of something.
Yeah.
But no. I don't think they ever really got a motive for why he did it.
Because he was a loon.
A lunatic.
I mean,
Probably was getting in trouble. Probably got in trouble and they punished him. Then he said, fuck it, I'm killing him. And killed the dad and realized he had to kill everybody. And he was probably going to kill himself and chickened out. That's probably what it was.
I kind of suspect it was probably just something like that. I think he was mostly just targeting his dad for whatever reason. And then was just kind of like, oh, well, if I kill everybody,
nah, I'm gonna kill everybody and kill
I can
himself.
Just say,
yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, he might have gonna kill himself as well,
yeah.
Because they, I don't know, like, in this movie, I don't know what it was like in real life, like I said, I didn't know them, but in this movie, this is, because when we were watching it, I said, wow, this family puts the fun in dysfunctional, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Holy crap, it's just like... From the second they, like, move in, it's just like, oh, it's going to be so fun in this house. And then it's just like this, you know, kind of cauldron of turmoil. Yeah. It's like none of
in
them
reality,
get along.
In reality, Ronnie DeFeo was the Amityville Horror. He was the Amityville Horror. He
yeah.
was the demon. That's what it was.
Yeah, and it was like, it was no demons, it was no ghosts made him do it, nothing like that. He was just a fucking loon and decided he was going to do that.
Heroin and alcohol and fucking not getting his way and being a semi-loser and probably depressed and fucking couldn't take it anymore. Fucking, for all we know, his dad maybe gave him a timeline, you're out of this house next week type of shit and fucking, you know.
Yeah, it had to be some kind
like
of like catalyst.
Yeah.
That
he couldn't
thought,
survive on his own, so
yeah, and he was just kind of like, "Oh, I'm not gonna be able to." Yeah, I can see that totally. Happening.
He couldn't hold a job.
And then the fact that he had to come up with, you know, oh, it was the mafia hit, then oh, voices told me to, and then oh, my was sister fucking
probably what it was.
She helps me and blah blah blah.
Something like they were gonna kick him out because he was a freeloader. He couldn't keep a job, and he couldn't clean himself up. So he gave him time. You better get the fuck. You're out of here on such and such a date. And that date started. He got high and drunk, and that date was approaching. And it was murder suicide. He's gonna kill the whole family and himself type of deal. Probably something like that.
Yeah.
And then chickened out when it came his turn.
But he's like, no, I don't think I want to do that.
He was a weedy little dude and he was a slime ball. You know, he wasn't, and, you know, he was not a tough guy. He probably thought he was a tough guy, but he was just a weedy little slime ball junkie. Probably thought he was a real tough guy and broke down in a moment of weakness and just killed everybody and then couldn't fucking kill himself. You know?
Yeah.
But he definitely had that pathological liar speech pattern. And when you see interviews with him, he's a pathological liar.
Is he still alive?
Well, I don't know. But they would interview him from prison all the time. And it's just, you're that funny speech pattern that pathological liars have.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, all the stories he came up with.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we did a show about the Amityville Horror, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
But,
lawyers and fucking movie people and shit got involved with this story, and he tried to fucking go to court and say he was possessed, and he was trying to get leniency somehow. But there's no way he's going to beat that many life sentences.
Gilded Age Phoenix said he died in 2021. Oh, okay, 2021. So recently.
Okay.
But yeah, they did actually shoot this movie at the same house, at least the exteriors, not sure about the interiors. But yeah, it's the same house they shot at. But I kind of wanted to do the third one too, but because I think that's also on HBO Max. I don't remember what happened in that one. I thought that one was also kind of based on the DeFeo family, but it was based on like a different book. I didn't think that it was like a continuation of this one. Aren't there, like, how many fucking Amityville movies are there now?
I don't know.
I think
there's at least five.
See, I thought that there was more like... I thought it was, like, up into the double digits.
Was it? Okay.
But I could be wrong. Now, we did see, probably, like, last year or the year before, we went to Riff Tracks Live, and they did Amityville 4, I think.
Yeah.
Amityville 4, I think it's called It's About Time. And, see, I didn't even realize, too, I knew about the first Amityville horror book, and then when I was researching this movie, I was like, oh, there was an Amityville 2, and then there was one that about the DeFeos, but the supernatural angle, and there was, like, different ones. But there was also this series, I think. I don't know if it's one book or if it's, like, a series, but it's called, like, Amityville, like, The Evil Escapes or something.
Yeah.
And it's, like, people that had to... the shit that doesn't even take place in the house. Like, people that went to the house for whatever reason, and then later they're like, ooh, I had supernatural shit, like, happening, like, at my house, like, you know, a million miles away. Which maybe is where they got the idea for Amityville 4, because in that one, that doesn't even take place at the original house. That takes place out of fucking California somewhere or something like that. And it has to do with, like, some fucking lamp or some shit. Was it a lamp?
Yeah.
It was, like, a haunted lamp.
In California, wasn't it?
Amityville, the haunted lamp. That's what it should have been called. Yeah.
It was terrible.
But yeah, so the lamp, like, this old lady, like, buys it from a garage sale, and then, like, takes it back to her house in, I think.
Somewhere out near Palos
Verdes. Or she buys it for her sister or some shit. Like, and then, like, the lamp makes her house, like, possessed.
It had nothing to do with this. It's just, they just slapped that label onto the fucking
That's
roof.
What I suspected, like, when I saw that one. I was just kind of like, this wasn't even an Amityville movie to start with. They just wrote this little framework at the beginning they could put that
We're
going to
make
it.
This movie, and we're going to somehow connect it with Amityville. Oh, okay. Well, we say the lamp came from Amityville. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the ticket. You know? They just probably bought the license for Amityville so that you remember the movie because they bought that license. If they didn't buy that license, you would have forgotten about that movie because it sucked.
Yeah, because it would have just been called The Haunted Lamp.
Haunted Lamp. Haunted Lamp out in Palos Verdes. That's what it would have been.
I feel like they do that a lot, especially in horror.
Yeah.
You know, if they get, like, a script, they're like, oh, hey, this is kind of a neat story, but you're a nobody, and it's, like, not an IP that anybody recognizes. Right. So let's kind of finagle a few details, and then we'll call it Final Destination 13 or whatever, part of, like, a successful
We're
going to
make this part of the Omen series.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
We'll do that,
We'll just, like, shoehorn it in there. I mean, I can see why they do that. Like, and I'm sure it makes more money. But
makes money.
But, yeah. So let me see. Oh, I saw something here. Check out the Ryan's DeFeo's last interview before he died, like somebody's saying about that. And then
what did he say? Just get to the point. What did he say?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, he's saying to check it out, but there's gotta be a reason.
Danny Rowling
says motherfucker just lied every time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe anything what he says.
Said the Amityville dollhouse was the weakest of the series, but it had scary looking demons in it. Which one is that one?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I have to Cause like I don't even remember how many of there are.
Once the shit starts going on for too long, you know you shouldn't really see it. With the exception of maybe Friday the 13th, because you know that's going to be a shit show. And they can keep that shit show rolling, and at least you were laughing through a lot of it.
Well, at least they knew what they were doing. They're like, Jason's in space.
Yeah. You're like, okay, put it on.
For some reason, when I said that, do you remember last night we were coming home from the club, and we don't go to that club like that often, so we still have to put the GPS on the phone. And so I put the GPS on, and we're leaving the parking lot, and it's like in this industrial park, so you kind of have to think. And so we're going around the corner, and she says, like, in 800 feet, like, turn left, whatever. And Tom's like, she doesn't know what she's doing. And I was like, that bitch is talking to you from space.
Yeah. And I went, yeah, that's right.
He just laughed his ass off. I was what? It's right. True.
She's in space.
She can see you from up there.
Yeah.
She knows where she's going.
The Now, I must say that the Exorcist series, some of them were pretty good. Exorcist 2 wasn't that good. 3 and 4, I think, and what was it, 5? They weren't that bad. They were pretty
Exorcist
good.
Exorcist 3 was actually was actually really good.
That was the
Exorcist 2 was awful.
Which is the one that had George C. Scott in it.
That was part 3.
3, yeah. That was a good one. And then 4 was the one where it had all the special effects, right?
Where they, the one with the all the demons, special effects.
The demons are fighting out on the dam. They're fighting Pazuzu. In the mountains.
Yeah. I can't remember because didn't we review like a couple of those?
And there's like two different versions of it.
And there's two different versions of essentially the same movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Mike Barrett said, I always liked the second Amityville more than the first. Yeah, you're actually not the only one. There's actually a pretty significant portion of people that actually think that the second Amityville is better. And I can see that. Like I said, because it's an Italian director, it has like a slightly different angle to it, and you know, it leans into the sleaze and it leans into, you know, it amps up like the paranormal shit.
It's a good movie.
It's actually decent. It was like more decent than I remembered.
It's a good horror movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, for me, I guess you could say, kind of like the gravitas of the first one. Because I was a kid when the first one came out and saw it when it was pretty new. I don't know if I saw it in the theater or not, though. I may have. I think maybe Kimmy took me to see that. I'm not sure. But that was my babysitter. But what year did that come out?
79.
Yeah. So I might have had, still maybe had a babysitter at that time. That'd have been about 10 or 11, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you've been 10.
10. So I think she took me to see that one. But what made it scary is that there was a plausibility to it. you were told that this was based on something that actually did happen. Not everybody saw it, but evidently it did happen. And out in California at the time when I saw it, all the little teenagers and shit, and Kimmy and her friends and shit, you know, they all believed that that was real, that it was a true story. So I had been hyped by hearing these little teenage girls going, oh, we're going to see that. You know, and I think they took me to see it. But I heard them talking about that one. They also talked about The Exorcist, like that actually happened. Reality was very warped in the 70s, especially amongst real young people. They had a hard time differentiating between what was real and what wasn't.
I mean, you could say that The Exorcist is very loosely based on
something. Right. Well, they would say that.
On not really a true story, but it's a claim to be true.
And then there was like a couple of other cases they were constantly talking about in the 70s when I was a kid. Sybil. They would talk about that. They would talk about Audrey Rose. Or Aubrey Rose. Audrey Rose.
Yeah, we were
as if that was real.
That was all. Well, that was purported to be real because I read the book as well.
I'm trying to think of another one that they said was real. They thought Carrie might have been real.
Okay, that's absolutely.
No, it was absolutely not. They thought it was real, or they suspected that it was real type of.
I mean, it didn't even make any claims to be. I mean, Stephen King wrote it. That was like his first novel.
You know, 13, 14-year-old girls thought that was real. That that happens. You know, that kind of shit. You know, it's actually this and that, but they didn't use her name. That kind of stuff. But they actually thought that Gene Simmons could just spit fire, all right, without any preparation, that he could be standing there and spit fire, and that his tongue was a foot long and forked. It was a weird time. 70s was a hell of a drug, okay? Fucking, they believed in the 70s, teenage girls believed that Gene Simmons' tongue was forked, that he had slit it. That hadn't happened. He didn't do that. That people did that later. Crazy people.
Yeah. I've seen some people that had that done.
Yeah. But they thought and that he had something cut so he could make it come out a foot long, but he didn't do that all the time. Just weird shit.
I had heard they that believed urban all kinds legend of stuff. As well. Yeah. I don't think I ever believed it, but I didn't really think about it all that much because I wasn't into KISS. Well,
I told a story before. I got to dig up that picture of fucking Kimmy and so I can put it on my tablet so I can show her to the audience. She looked like Princess Leia, exactly like it. And my mother would give me to her, and I was like the fucking... She was like the nanny in a way, because she only lived two houses down, you know. And that was my girlfriend.
She dragging baby Tom.
Dragging me baby Tom, but I was the pookie. And fucking, I'd get invited.
Back when Tom was the pookie.
Back when I was the pookie. I'd get invited to all the slumber parties and shit. I'm like five, six, and fucking teenage girls hugging on me for chest, fucking they're getting high and listening to fucking Led Zeppelin, Red.
Baby Tom is the mascot.
I was like the mascot. It was a good time.
But yeah, so this movie, they kind of like, apparently it's kind of fucked up, I mean, but it was apparently like a lot worse. As I said, and I don't know if these scenes still exist anywhere. Like, I don't think there's a director's cut or nothing. But apparently the original one had, like I said, had the butt raping scene where the dad, like, butt rapes the mom.
Yeah.
And so that was in there. And also, because if you watch the movie now, like, with the brother and sister, when they start getting it on, that whole scene is, like, creepy. Like, where he's... I think the creepiest thing is that she just, like, goes along with it. He's like, you're the most beautiful girl in the whole world. And he's like, just take your nightgown off. And she's like, no. Okay. And I'm just like, dude, that's, like, your brother. That's so weird. And then he's like, I'm pretending that I'm, like, this famous photographer. And, like, she's, like, doing that. And then, like, they start making out. And I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, so that's how it is in their family.
Yeah.
And then apparently that scene went on much longer. Like, it was a very graphic sex scene.
The Italians
scene.
Are involved.
That's they're what gonna I'm have, saying. They're going to have to push so, like, they showed that to, like, test audiences. And they're like, absolutely not.
They probably have
absolutely not.
They probably have an extended Italian edit out there somewhere.
It might have gotten released in Italy.
I'm sure
because
they saved
just
that shit. Those dudes shot that shit and said, check that out. Yes, indeed. We're saving that.
Well, it was just really weird because, I mean, they seemed, like, close, but then, like, when he started, like, all macking on her and stuff, and she was just kind of like, at first she was like, oh, no, well, all right. And then she even said, like, later that she wasn't, like, she didn't feel bad about it, right? Because then, doesn't she go, well, she goes to, like, confession or whatever, and she tells the priest, like, he just does it to hurt God.
Yeah.
Like, he, I don't know. But she seemed, like, okay with it. I think even during his birthday party, that scene where they have his birthday party and he goes up into the thing, like, she even goes up into the room, like, hey, are we gonna, like, do it? Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, weird. It's very weird. But then, like, he ends up, like, shooting her in the end anyway. So, you know. But she doesn't help him in the movie.
You're right.
Like, he just kills on him. So they didn't go with that angle, but they were humping, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't have anything. She didn't know he was going to do that.
Zach's in there talking about old school logic that kids had back in the, you know. Fucking, I could quote what he said. This shit's fucking funny. But, yeah, that old school logic was fucking a trip. Fucking. They also believe...
Zach. I just read it. Yeah. Fourth grader logic.
Yeah, yeah. Get a girl pregnant by peeing in her butt. Just weird shit like that. Yeah.
I had heard that before.
Yeah, they would just fucking say all, they would think all kinds of weird shit.
I mean, close, sort yeah. of. Like, but...
You know the hook story about the fucking guy where they're making out in the
Everybody
fucking car
story,
and then
yeah.
the hook's hanging from it? They thought that was a real story. They would get... legend and reality was from serial killers mixed up.
Because there
wasn't an internet, so there was no way to check. Yeah. So it was just old school ways of thinking and talking. And rumor would get mixed in with fact, and you would get a real contaminated version of something that really did happen. And the imagination would run wild back in the 70s and the 80s. It was kind of a good time. Good time to be young. Of course, adults, I think, could navigate their way through the bullshit.
Well, I don't know, because a lot of adults
believe bullshit.
A lot of them, like, believed all of that, like, poisoned Halloween candy and all that kind of crap.
Didn't happen.
Which that didn't happen.
A lot of stuff
well, it happened one happen. Time, but it was the kid's dad.
Yeah, he poisoned his own kids.
He poisoned his own kids.
Yeah.
And one of the neighbor kids, although the neighbor kid didn't eat the thing. But he was trying to get life insurance money.
Right.
But that's, like, literally the only, as far as I know, that's the only time that that's ever happened.
Yeah, I'll eventually remember some shit that they believed that they thought really happened. Back in the 70s.
Well, the thing about it, and I think we might have talked about, because I think we've done a show about urban legends, but because I read a lot of urban legends, and if you read, like, a lot of folklorists and stuff like that, they try to trace back, like, where
it came from.
It came from. Now, some urban legends do have some basis in something that really happened, but a lot of times, like, as it gets repeated, like, people just keep adding, like, crazier and crazier details.
Yeah.
But there is, like, a germ of reality in there.
Yeah. I remembered some one of them now, man.
Uh-oh.
This was fucking R-rated. That they that Rod Stewart passed out, and they sent him to the hospital and pumped his stomach, and he had a gallon of fucking semen in his.
Yeah,
stomach.
I've heard that one.
Remember that one?
Yeah. I've heard that one.
Yeah, and people thought that was real.
Not quite as
the
famous.
The gerbil one.
Not quite as famous as Richard Gere
Richard
and the gerbil,
and gerbil.
In his butt, but
yeah, all made up. All made up. None of that shit happened.
Although
that was some 70s shit,
I'm man. Gonna say, I mean, if you get your rocks off by having a gerbil inserted in your butt, I mean, I'd probably deny that too.
It would kill the gerbil.
Maybe that's part of the appeal.
Animal cruelty.
I know it is. I'm not saying that Richard Gere really did that. I'm just saying that if you were really doing then you would like be
didn't
denying
happen.
It. That's all.
It came up with some crazy shit in the 70s.
Well, see that kind of urban legend always kind of, like, fascinates me, because I don't think that's, like, based on reality, but I'm like, where did that idea come from? Like, who thought of, like, hey, I'm going to put part of a habit trail, like, up my ass, and then, like, who came up with that?
Friedrich Nietzsche talked about that. He said if you're going to lie, you have to make a fucking... the more absurd the claim is, the more likely the people will believe it. So if you're going to lie, lie big.
Yeah. Because some maybe people say, some people be like, oh, well, because why would they make
why
up
why would
something
they make that
like
up?
That?
That's what they're, yeah. Another thing of advice that was later on was lie big and lie often. All right. And fucking, you'll eventually fucking, people will believe you.
Danny Rowling says, I'm surprised, talking about the movie, red flags weren't going off in the priest's mind when Sonny was standing in the doorway and the door slammed shut by itself. Yeah, I was just kind of like, maybe he's like a priest and he's like, oh, I see like demonic and like ghosty shit all the time. But he's like, yeah, he's clearly looking at the hall and Sonny's like standing there, not touching the door, like several feet away from the door, and the door slams and he's just kind of like, huh. Well, he doesn't even like finish blessing the shit.
Now, fucking Phoenix is going, Rod Stewart, that's totally true, Tom. That was not true. That was bullshit.
Zach says, it's weird Richard Gere was like the hottie of the 70s and 80s, but I've never been super into him. He's kind of too pretty. Yeah, I mean, I always thought he was just like okay looking. I mean, he didn't seem like nothing special. I don't know why the gerbil. Sometimes it's gerbil or hamster. I guess they're kind of like the same thing. But it's like, I don't know why that specifically got attached to him. I've heard it about other celebrities, but 99% of the time it's Richard Gere. And I don't know why that is. Oracle just showed up. Yeah, he's slipping in. Yeah.
It's all right. As soon as we post it, it'll go right up. You can watch it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. Should we watch Amityville 3D tonight, or should we just go some... You want to do some, watch something else?
Well, like, we should talk about them, tomorrow. Probably.
Well, no, but that's...
That's later?
Well, yeah, that's the one that's coming
out
Friday.
Watch 3D. That's not the one with the lamp, is it?
No, that's the fourth one.
Fourth one, okay. Yeah, I don't think I've seen 3D.
I have, but it's been a long time.
Okay.
But we'll see, because I was kind of curious, because I saw that HBO had them both.
All right.
So I was just kind of like...
Okay. We'll go and watch them.
I mean, you know, that's... Because I'm kind of tired from the last, so I don't want to watch anything that's too long or involved. Right. I just want to watch something that's like kind of goofy or fun or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so we're doing Them is going to be the movie review for the recorded one that we're putting up later this week, because I knew you'd be excited about that because you like
that's a good movie.
You like the big ants movie, and I haven't seen it in like
since I was a kid. Had a lot of good army action. The army was really in it, if I remember correctly.
And on the main show on Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about Lewis Carroll and his relationship with Alice Liddell, the girl that Alice in Wonderland. I don't know if it was
pedoology.
I mean, I don't want to go that far because it's like, I think it'll be an interesting discussion because there's kind of like a difference between the way people saw childhood in the Victorian era and the way people see childhood nowadays.
Yeah, they didn't have childhood in the Victorian
era. So I don't really know. I don't know like where I come down on
it. Yeah, you know, there was people that used to call basically little kids, homeless little kids, they used to call them street meats and things like that. There's all, you know, weird. They were weird. They're predating on them. Street meats.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, that you fed them that you could do what you wanted with them.
Yikes.
Those little starving children in those cities. Not even starving, just real poor. You know what I mean? Hungry. But anyway, I was going to say, a lot of people don't know that in some of those real high-budget movies of the 50s, that really was the army.
Well, yeah, they always had... I mean, they for sure gave them, like, permission to use, like, a lot of the equipment and all that kind of stuff, because...
Well, it was kind of like part of the... Helping out Hollywood and the Army got merged in World War II. So they started working with them in World War II. Why use extras when you have a real Army in training right there and just give them some more training and running them around in front of the camera? The Russians and the Germans did the same thing. And then in the 50s, in the Cold War, they were still doing the same thing. You know, they'll activate an army unit, and the activation and the mobilization is part of the training. You know, then they go to shoot the movie. They evidently shoot live rounds sometimes. It'd be like live fire training, and they get it all on tape, and it was good promotion for the U.S. Army. You know, it makes a lot of sense. It's propaganda for the Army. And if I remember correctly, I haven't seen this movie, I haven't seen Them in a long time. When the army guys are shooting up those fucking giant ants, and there really are practical effect ants, if I remember correctly, I remember thinking at the time that looked like real 45 ACP rounds going through that thing. You know, it wasn't squib explosives like you would today. It was live rounds.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. I've got to see it again. I remember seeing like live rounds. They were shooting with Thompson submachine guns at about 10 meters and blowing shit off the damn ant. And it was an ant puppet, but they were big, you know, 9 feet long. Probably 4 or 5 feet high. It looked good from what I remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
I mean, if we have time, we'll watch it tonight, but we have to watch like something for the matinee, and then that we need to watch it either tonight or tomorrow night so we can like record the review and get it up by the end of the week. So that's what's coming up for the rest of the week. So yeah, we'll probably watch Amityville 3D tonight, because might as well, since they're both up on there. So if you're going to see the fireworks or whatever, be safe. Don't get eaten by mosquitoes or blow your fingers off or anything like that. So have a good holiday, and we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.